The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, time to place another book on the Hard Shoulder bookshelf. Last week, the Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Pascal Donoghue, was my guest. He placed his favourite book, Solar Bones by Mike McCormack, on the bookshelf with me. It gives me great pleasure to say this week is Darren Shan, the author, well known in Limerick and beyond. You might have read the Cirque du Freak series or the Archibald Locke series. More recently, he's got, I am told, a new venture in the publishing world. That might be on shelves within a few months' time. Darren, we might talk about that in a moment. You're very welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having me on.
Yeah, thanks a million for joining us. So we'll get straight into it. What book are you placing on the Hard Shoulder bookshelf, your favourite book?
It's a book that goes back a long, long way with me to my childhood. It's The Secret Garden by Frances Hodgson Burnett.
Okay.
It's, I think it was early 19th century she wrote it, so it's quite an old book at this by this stage. But there was a TV version made in the late 70s, early 80s, and I saw that on television when I was growing up, and I fell in love with it. And then my mother got the book to me, or I found it at a library, I can't remember, and I read the book, and I loved that as well. I read it over and over. And it's a book that's been with me all my life. Yeah, it's been 40 years later now, more than 40 years, 45 or so, and I still love it. It still remains in my thoughts. These days, a lot of books I read, yeah, I'll enjoy them, but if you ask me to tell you the plot, a week later, I'd struggle to reel it off, whereas Secret Garden, it's still fresh in my mind.
It's one of those books I'd wager lots of people listening to the show know well. But for those who don't, briefly, what is The Secret Garden about?
It's about a young girl whose family die in a plague in India, I believe it was. And she goes to live in England with an uncle of hers in this mysterious old house in the countryside, a mansion. And she's a very lonely girl. She's got no friends. And it's about recovering from grief and finding yourself. She starts to change as she grows up in the countryside. And there's this walled-off garden on the estate. And there's a door into it, but no key for the lock. And she wants to know what's in this garden. She wants to find a way in. Eventually she does. And she uncovers a garden that's old and dying, but she helps nurture the garden back to life. And as the garden blooms, her life starts to change as well. And she starts to develop as a person, becomes a nicer person. It's a story of growth, but without being preachy or boring. Mm. It's just a really lovely story that's got a very positive message to it as well.
And why do you think it has resonated with you and continues to do so after all these years?
Well, it started with most of the cast being killed off, which is always a good thing for me. Being a horror writer, I've always appreciated that touch. And then it's one of the things of children's authors, with children's books, what do you do about the parents in stories? Because kids want to read about kids having adventures. And if you've got mum and dad in the scene, it's very hard to have the kids be independent. So normally they go off on holidays.
Kill them off by
kill them
a plague.
Off. It's perfect.
A plague. Brilliant.
It's a method I've used in a few of my own books as well, I must admit, in various ways. But it was just something magical about it. You enter into that world and it was different to other books I've been reading. I was reading a lot of Enid Blyton at the time, the famous five, The Secret Seven. And they were books I loved as a child and they were great adventure stories. But they didn't make me think the way that The Secret Garden made me think. The Secret Garden, it deals with spiritual matters, but in a way that children can appreciate and understand. It's about the growth of the garden, but also the growth of the soul. And it did something that I'd never experienced before in a book. It made me aware that books could take you to places that I didn't realise they could take you into. They could open up corners of your brain which you didn't even realise were there, and get you thinking about things and looking at the world around you in a different way. And it had a huge impact on me.
And how well has it aged? I mean, can you imagine your own kids reading The Secret Garden?
I hope so. My son is reading now. He's not as keen a reader as I was. I think my daughter's going to be more into fiction than he is. But he loves manga. He's really big into manga.
Yeah.
That's his thing. And I love comics as well, so I'm fully behind him on that. But I will introduce it to him and see. I haven't read it now in a while. I know the language will be a bit anachronistic compared to modern day lingo, but I think a good story stands the test of time.
Yeah.
It's not like Shakespeare where you really have to struggle to make sense of what's going on. It's a little bit out of the ordinary of what we're used to, but I think mostly it stands up. I think it holds true, I think, even today.
Yeah.
I think you can enjoy it without having to make yourself enjoy it. Sometimes with older books, you have to force yourself to appreciate what's in there.
Yeah.
Whereas I think with this, you can still just enjoy it as a really good
story.
You
kind of feel like you're reading it because you have to read it with some of them.
It can be, but sometimes you have to push yourself out. You know, you have to make yourself understand why it's good. You know, if it's like with Shakespeare, sometimes you have to read some books to explain what the references are. You have to struggle to make out what certain words and phrases mean. Whereas with Secret Garden, no, you can pretty much follow what's going on.
It's nice to have a classic place in the Hard Shoulder bookshelf, The Secret Garden by Frances Hodgson Burnett. We always, it's very difficult to ask people to pick a single book. So we always allow them honourable mention of something else. What other book was close maybe to it?
It's very close. It's another book which had a huge impact on my life.
Yeah.
I think at this stage it probably would count as a classic because it's going back about 50 years now to when
it's always
first released.
People tell you cars that are 20 years old are kind of vintage, aren't they? There's Ford Mondeos driving around out there that are considered vintage.
Yeah, it's strange. I mean, certainly, when I was a teenager or in my early 20s, a book that had been written 50 years ago, I would have thought of as an old classic book. Now that I'm in my 50s myself, it seems it's not that old. But it's Salem's Lot by Stephen King.
What's Salem's Lot about?
Oh, Salem's Lot is very, very different to Secret Garden. It's about vampires taking over, what was then a modern-day town. It's a modern spin on the old Dracula book by Bram Stoker. And it was filmed as a two-part TV series in the 1970s. And my next-door neighbours, Dick and Nora Downs, knew I loved horror as a kid. Ever since I was a really young kid, I always loved horror movies, horror stories. And they saw the first half on telly one night. And they said to me the next day, there's this really spooky film about vampires on last night. The second half's on tonight. I think you should watch it. You'll like it. I was maybe 8 or 9 years of age. So I think, grand, I sit down to watch it. And the second half of Salem's Lot is just full-on vampire gore from wall to wall. It's a TV movie, so it's not actually that gory. But all the action happens in the second half. The first half is this really slow, really good build-up. It's a great film. It's a film that stands the test of time. But the second half is when all the action happens. So I saw this second half, and it just blew me away. And then a few months later, I think I was down in Killarney for a GAA match, I think. And I was going in a bookshop, and I spotted a book on the shelf which had the cover from the TV show.
Yeah.
A really spooky cover, Salem's Lot by Stephen King. I had no idea who Stephen King was. And I said to my mum, can you get me that? So I read it. And this is the 1980s, and your parents let their kids read Stephen King when they were 9 or 10 years of age. It was a different world back then. Yeah. She said, yeah, fine. She got it for me, and I went and read it. And that was my introduction to the world of adult horror books. As I said, I've seen a lot of horror movies by that stage, but I'd never read a proper, full-on adult horror book.
Mm.
And that just blew me away. It got under my skin. It terrified me. I had a nightmare based on seeing it, which I liked. Having nightmares for me is always part of the fun of horror. Yeah, you go on a roller coaster to be scared. You come off shaking. A good horror book or film should do the same thing to you. So I loved it. And it showed me what the future could be.
Yeah.
And I went on from there to read. I've read everything Stephen King's.
Yeah,
released.
You're a big Stephen King fan.
Oh, huge. He is. If I had to pick a one-off author as my favourite author of all time.
Really?
Definitely be Stephen King by quite a long way. As I said, I was about 10 when I read my first one. 40 years later, I'm still reading him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still keeping up with all his latest releases. There's no other author who has been as big a part of my life as Stephen King has been. So, and Salem's Lot was my doorway into that world.
Yeah, Salem's Lot is a great recommendation by Stephen King for honourable mention. What are you reading at the moment?
At the moment, I'm reading a book of short stories by Alan Moore called Illuminations.
Yeah.
Alan Moore is another of my huge author idols. I grew up on his stories. First of all, there was a comic called 2000 E, which is still going. And he used to write some stuff for that, and that was my introduction to him. And then a few years later, I discovered The Killing Joke and Watchmen, Miracle Man from Hell. And he's another author who I've been with, not quite as long as Stephen King, but almost. Since I was a teenager, I've been a huge Alan Moore fan. And mostly he works in comics. But he also writes some novels, and he's written short stories over the years. And a few years ago, might even have been last year, he collected several of his short stories together into a book called Illuminations. And I'm working my way through that at the moment. Quite a weird book. He's got a very fanciful way with words.
Okay.
I prefer his comics, probably, but they are interesting. It's interesting. I'm enjoying it. They're not.
Is it a book, though, for Alan Moore fans?
I think probably, yeah.
Okay.
I think you have to be prepared to go with the purple prose.
Okay.
They don't all have. Yeah, he's great for his storytelling, twists and so on. Not all of these have that. It's more playing around with words and ideas and concepts. The ones that I've read so far, anyway, I'm only about a third of the way through. But it's still, I'm enjoying it. I don't read many short stories. I used to, when I was younger, one of my favourite authors is Ray Bradbury, who wrote amazing short story after short story, and he released them in collections, and I read all of those, actually. I read everything he's ever done. These days, I don't really read a lot of short stories. Novels were what I always gravitated towards more naturally as a reader and then as a writer. I don't write short stories. So it's nice, every so often, I go back and I read a collection of short stories, and I remember, actually, it's a real art form.
Yeah.
It's not one that I'm any good at as a writer. You have to really throw yourself into it and do it a lot. It's a real skill to develop. So it's nice to go back and see that format and experience it again, because I don't do it as often as I probably should.
Illuminations by Alan Moore is what Darren Shan is currently reading. Listen, I mentioned kind of project in the works. You have a first picture book.
That's right. I've got two young children, Dante and Gaia. And Dante's 9, Gaia's 5. And I've been reading lots of picture books ever since Dante was born, 9 years ago. And I had this idea early on about writing a picture book. Dante loved chewing on stones. We'd be on a stone beach, he'd grab a big stone and he'd start chewing on it. And one day I was obviously concerned about him, but one day this line popped into my head. I thought it was going to be the start of a poem. My son is a troll, he loves eating stones. And I didn't do anything with it. And then it sort of fell by the wayside. And then Gaia came along. And one day she started chewing on a stone as well. And I was reminded of that line. And I thought, maybe I could do something with that. And originally I worked it up into this little idea for a poem. And then I worked it up into a short picture book. And I have a friend called Eva Byrne, who's a freelance illustrator. And she has children similar sort of age to ours. So we'd be quite friendly through them. And I asked her, have you ever thought about maybe trying a picture book one day? She said, oh, I'd love to do one. And so I sent her the idea for what became The Terrified Troll. And we're hard at work on it now. We did it as a fundraiser, first of all, because it's something I haven't done before and Eva hadn't done one.
Okay.
We haven't gone with a traditional publisher. We hope to do that further down the line. But at first, we fundraised. We got the money to allow Eva to devote a year of her life to doing the drawings, because that's pretty much how long it's going to take. And yeah, she's well into it now, about a quarter of the way through. Her illustrations are amazing. I love it when she sends me... About every one or 2 weeks, she sends me a new illustration.
Yeah.
And I just love seeing my imagination come to life in that way. So yeah, hopefully we're going to have it ready for going out later this year or early next year. And we'll see how it goes. It's my first ever picture book. And it's something I've been planning for a long time. So hopefully readers will enjoy it as much as I've enjoyed creating it.
The Terrified Troll is the name of it. So keep a close eye towards the end of this year or early next year. There'll be a limited run initially, but it may be more plentiful thereafter. Darren, listen, it's been a real pleasure. Thanks a million for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.